Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tribe Family Channel, Voices of Wisdom. Voices of Wisdom is named so to keep the voice of Rachel Berry alive through our platform. She created the group Voices of Wisdom because everyone knows something that someone else needs to know, officially known as the Vow Network on Facebook. Formerly, I had two members of the Tougaloo Nine hosting this show from 2016 until 2019 for 3 years and for three seasons. Doctors, Reverend Joseph Jackson Jr., leader of the Tougaloo Nine, and Dr. Geraldine Edwards Hollis, member of the Tougaloo Nine, were the hosts of Voices of Wisdom. Out of that grew my management to the leader of the Tougaloo Nine, Reverend Dr. Joseph Jackson Jr. I had the honor of reading to him from September 2021. He has glaucoma. He is 84 years old. We have read 11 books, and I'm finishing up the autobiography of W.E.B. Du Bois. So we want to honor the passing of W.E.B. Du Bois' granddaughter, and may she rest in peace in the loving arms of God. We honor our ancestors, and we honor those that have gone on to break down barriers and to make a difference in our lives and in the lives of others. Now, tonight, this is an amazing show. I am honored to have educator, author, Kathy Wright Lewis discussing her book, And the African Burial Ground and the 9/11 Memorial. Her book, Passion's Pride, Return to the Dawning, is a novel, but it's based on real life. As an educator, she is a word engineer, a word Smith, a writer. She engineers stories and brings the voices of our past ancestral matriarchs and patriarchs, and she brings them to life to tell their stories, to honor their memories and their sacrifices. And I'm just so honored to have Kathy Wright Lewis on this show, because it would take a whole show to really go deep into the discussion that awaits us. I will have to tell you that just quickly, she is the co-founder, or excuse me, executive director of Power in the Pen Writing Workshop. They've been going on for years in New York. Power in the Pen, www.org. So it's www.powerinthepen.org. So again, www.powerinthepen.org. They have Zoom. They probably aren't in session physically right now because of COVID and social distancing, and everyone's doing Zoom, and I'm going to catch up with them on that, so I'm even more motivated. But just let me set the tone a little bit in terms of the unearthing of downtown Manhattan, the African Burial Ground National Monument resting place. The tiny plot was what had been set aside now to indicate the spot, but in the 17th and 18th centuries, the site had been large, some 6 acres, as far north as present-day Duane Street and as far south as City Hall Park, along Chambers Street, and in the park itself, human remains were still routinely uncovered. But most of the burial ground was now under office buildings, shops, streets, diners, pharmacies, all the endless hum of commerce and government. Into this earth had been interred the bodies of some 15 to 20,000 blacks, most of them slaves. But then the land had been built over, and the people of the city had forgotten that it was a burial ground. Those are the musings of Julius, the narrator of Tuju Cole's Open City, as he passes a memorial in downtown Manhattan. The African Burial Ground is considered a national monument of New York, memorializing thousands of black New Yorkers, many of them enslaved, who died between the 17th and 18th centuries. It is a grisly part of the state's history, one that almost seems like a bad horror trope. But in reality, there are currently people who are living and working atop concrete grave markers for yet to be found bodies. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Voices of Wisdom. I am Beverly Black. I am the creator of Voices of Wisdom and Tribe Family Channel, a Gumbo for the Soul International Family Brand. It is an honor, privilege, and a pleasure to welcome educator, author, writer, word engineer, wordsmith, genius, so many words, queen, sister, and family, familiar, and friends, Kathy Wright Lewis. Welcome to Voices of Wisdom, Queen. How are you?
I'm doing just wonderful. Thank you and bless you. And I love Voices of Wisdom.
Thank you for always thinking of
me and my work. I truly appreciate you, Sister Beverly.
Oh, Queen, I have never forgotten. I'm telling you, when we first met, and I were in conversation with you and one of your other sisters in New York there at the workshop. And it was just like, oh, wow, these sisters are so in touch with, you know, like Mother Earth, spirit, you know, Father Spirit, Mother Earth, our ancestral ties. It's just something that you can't forget. And that's why I wanted to take this time, and I'm so thankful and grateful for you to be a sponsor of Tribe Family Channel and to be taking this time out with me to talk about your book and to talk about your own personal experiences. And I have additional dialogue from where I am extrapolating this information, which is the library, brooklynlibrary.org, and that's going to be BKLYNlibrary.org. It is a blog about unearthing downtown. It was published January 6, 2021, and I'm actually going to drop the link on the advertisement on social media for this show so that those that are listening or you and I, Kathy, ourselves, will have the ability to easily retrieve this information. So I would like for you, yes, so I would like for you to speak on the preface to the show resonates. You're right there in New York, being a witness to just all of it, 9/11, the unearthing of our ancestral burial ground. So you can really start wherever you want to, and you can weave your book in and out as to why you gained the insight and perspective to write the book.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, the thing about it is when they first started unearthing the bones, teaching at a program at NYU, and we had high school students taking college classes, and one of the first things we did was we grabbed the kids. We all went down there because we really weren't that far. And that was, what was that, 93? Yeah. So they had, you know, gates up, well, fences up, and they had some of this stuff on display. So they had been talking about it. They had found it. We were in shock and amazement because I grew up in this city. I didn't even know that there was a burial ground there. And we've been uncovering them ever since. There are quite a few, actually. Staten Island, in the neighborhood next to mine, East New York. There are a few of them. So, which makes sense. It makes all the sense in the world. So
it really does make sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when you read your history and you understand the slave trade, as far as the northern slave trade, people think that slavery was just in the South, but hey, we have Sojourner Truth and Frederick Douglass, Harriet Tubman. They Harriet Tubman went from the South to the North. She followed the North Star. Come on, y'all.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. And there were so much happened, and I wanted to know. Of course, I wanted to know as much as I could find out about it. But seeing those little teeny tiny shackles made for a baby next to the skeletal remains of the baby, you know, like 2 years old or something. And it just like, I mean, all of them, one with this mullet hole and inside this woman's back was so contorted. And you didn't think about, you know, what they had to do and under what conditions they had to live. And they worked till they broke their backs, you know, literally. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, so just seeing them, I was done. I just went out of my body at that point. And I, like, going down there always does something to me. So fast forward to, I wrote this poem, right, about it. And saying how one day the walls will come down because of these times, how the ancestors had been desecrated, and I left it alone. Fast forward to 9/11, I'm in my classroom, and one of my students he comes in late. I catch him at the door. He's late, and I'm like, why are you late? What are you doing? He's like, oh, I was just watching a plane hit the Twin Towers. And I said, stop, you know, you shouldn't joke like that. That's not funny. And he said, no, for real, Miss Ray, go look out the window. So I run to the window, and sure enough, we see the first plane had hit as soon as that happened. So we literally saw the second plane hit, too. We literally both the buildings come down. We watched the people coming across, you know, dazed and walking with all the soot all over them. I mean, it was a part of us. My school was so close to my school was at the tip of Brooklyn, right next to the Brooklyn Bridge, right over there. So we could see everything. And I had to write about it. That's how the book starts. Actually, I start in the classroom, you know, with us watching it. And then the teacher, Mecca is loosely based on me in this part of the book, because I had to tell that story about what we saw. We sat there and literally watched, you know, after all of it came down, there was this big, massive cloud. It was huge, and it was just debris, and it had become windy. And that we watched the debris like moving across the river towards Brooklyn, towards us. I have to tell you, it was you really felt like, okay, we're all about to die. That's how you felt, because it just looked like something. When we had to go, run home, close your windows, don't let it, you know, wait till it all passed by. It was horrific. There's so much that happened on that day. But all I could think of while I was watching it happen with my students and holding it together was that the ancestors were over there. That's where they're buried. This has to be connected. It has to be connected. So in the book, I make sure that the ancestors, you know, the land from before, greet the ones, the newly deceased, and help them to move on to the spirit world. But that's all I could think of. And I thought about the poem I had written, and I'm like, I wrote that the walls will come tumbling down, and that's what's happening right now. What is going on? Okay, what is going on?
Wow. To watch this bloom coming to across, like you said, coming across, what is that, the Hudson? I mean, that had to be surreal. Just like, you know, God rest in peace to those that we've lost to the tornadoes in four separate states, over 220 miles. We hold you all up in prayers for your speedy recovery and for your healing. It had to be one of those things where you believe your own eyes, but in this moment, it's hard to believe your own eyes. Your own trusting
really,
eyes.
Really.
So I couldn't imagine. We're going to come right back. I'm going to give our audience another paragraph here from the Brooklyn Library, their Unearthing Downtown. And then we're going to get some more from you, Kathy. It says, the very fact that Manhattan became a hidden burial ground is in itself a terrible piece of history. When the island was first settled by the Dutch and still known as New Amsterdam, it was built with the labor of enslaved people. The Dutch declared conditional freedom to an enslaved group in the 1640s, but refused to allow them to live or bury their dead within city limits. Instead, the black population settled along the margins of New Amsterdam. It is believed that around this time, the cemetery was first established in what is now downtown Manhattan, although it is thought to have been founded by free Africans. It was not just free Africans who were buried beneath its soil. On just one corner of the graveyard, 419 bodies were exhumed, with more than half believed to be enslaved people. There are many lost elements to this tragic story, such as the shift in burials of free Africans to enslaved ones, and the transformation of a graveyard into a heavily developed metropolitan block. Now, you saw two towers with your own eyes come down at this very site that we are speaking of. And you wrote a book to your audience. What did you want to convey to your audience about the book and how this all ties together?
Thank you for that question. What I really wanted people to understand And some people gave me a hard time about it because they don't want to deal with the spiritual aspect. But for me, it's all about the spiritual aspect. So what I wanted people to understand that everything is connected. Because the first thing that popped in my mind was that for this to happen now, I really want to know what else happened in this spot, in this land right here, that what other desecration was here that, you know, mm-hmm. that caused this to happen now, or, you know, these years later. And there had been mm-hmm. so many. I wanted people to know the history, like you said, of New York City and how we were here before it was even considered New York City, before it was even mm-hmm. considered the United States of America.
Come on, you preacher.
And mm-hmm. we built everything. We made the streets. They made the docks and the shores. Mm-hmm. You know, they came mm-hmm. right in through the South Street Seaport, right on those. We were the they called it the World Trade Center. Okay, we were
Come
the
on.
First commodities of the World Trade Center. You know, so it
Come
was
on.
All based on us. So there were. I just started digging, and I'm a teacher, so I want whenever I recover anything, uncover, I show it, I share it, I teach it. So, I just had all questions in my mind. I'm like, what else is over there? You know, what else is? So my brother-in-law worked for the Port Authority at the time, and he lost, you know, a lot of his friends, you know, so he was devastated.
Oh, my goodness.
You know,
oh,
and he
wow.
was one of the people who used to have to go and dig up, find the bodies because, you know,
oh,
they had
wow.
you know, all these ambulances there, empty ambulances at the end of the day. We kept waiting for the number and to say how many people, like the hospitals are flooded. No, people either they made it out or they died, you know, and they didn't find, they weren't finding people who needed an ambulance. They were gone, you know, but they also found, it's like huge, massive bank vaults down there. There were vaults. He said there was gold down there. There were all kinds of notes. There was all kind of African and all kinds of jewels.
Artifacts.
And stuff. All artifacts down there, okay?
Wow.
Underneath the city, you know? So I'm going, oh, my God. I have to put this all in there. It has to all go in there. We're connected to this land. Our ancestors were brought here, and that changed everything in itself, you know? That
mm-hmm.
changed everything spiritually. And there's no way in the world that I could teach, you know, or I could write about one aspect without the other. So I had,
right.
This is actually the second book, because the first book, Mariah Seed, you know, it gives you the basics of the family, because they're all like change agents, and they who come back to make change again, because that's their line, that's what they bring to the planet, you know. So
mm-hmm.
they're activists, community activists, the whole family, regardless of what time they're serving. And their ancestor is Mariah, and she was one of the very first activists. And so I tell her story, you know, it gets a little, but you get to meet her a little closer in this book. And then in the last book, forget it, you get to meet her face to face. But I finally got ahead of myself with this. So I had to weave them all together. You know, people say, oh, leave mm-hmm. out the spiritual stuff, but we can just write about the history. No, I have to do both. I have to do both. So I want people to understand the history, respect the history, know that we were fighting all along. We've been connected all along. I hate when people think that, black people from the Caribbean are not connected to black people from America. No, they used to send us from here to there, okay, and then sometimes
mm-hmm.
back. I had my own ancestors were sent there to be seasoned, as they would say, because if you were a runaway, if you acted up, they really tortured you when they took you back to Jamaica. Jamaica was the spot you really got messed up in Jamaica. You got broken in Jamaica, you know. And sometimes they sent the folks back and forth. There was always, you know, a middle passage. We were always going back and forth. We were always interacting.
Yes.
You know, at all times. And we had family members who were looking out on people, whether they were related or not. You know, we had underground
mm-hmm.
railroads. We had secret societies. So I wanted to bring up some of that too, because we did make it out, and we did it by helping each other, and we really need to learn how to do that again. We need to learn from our ancestors and look at what they've done. So every story I learn about them, I want to tell so people understand that this is all possible for us to do. They left stories for us.
Wow. I like the way you weave the books together, you know, and I'm glad that you followed your spirit and the way you were led to bring out your work to its fullness and not cutting corners and undercutting the true apex of what it all is, because, you know, yes, some people, they like our work, but you can't always take their suggestion for your work, because that seed wasn't planted inside of them to come to fruition. Mm-hmm. It was planted inside of you to bring to fruition, because you are the one that is going to tell it the way it needs to be told. And so I'm glad that you stuck to the script. You understood the assignment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes,
and yes, you understood the assignment. Okay. So that's a beautiful thing.
They whisper these stories to me. I'm not writing on my own. And so, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's because I'm chosen or it was just my destiny to do so, I cannot pull away from the script. They would not let me rest, okay? So I don't have a choice. I have to be obedient.
Right. Well,
mm-hmm.
now, I'm going to weave back over to the article where I left off. There are many lost elements to this tragic story, such as the shift in burials of free Africans to enslaved ones and the transformation of a graveyard into a heavily developed metropolitan block. That latter missing piece of the puzzle is what has always bothered me as someone who lives and admires this city. It's not just the unfree existence and unpeaceful and unequal eternal rest that haunts. What stays with me is how a graveyard spanning 6 acres becomes covered to begin with, remaining unexposed until the 1990s. It is the epitome of cruel neglect, allowing property to pass from public to private, allowing grave markers to rot, and paving over thousands of human beings in deliberate ignorance. To turn a cemetery to parking lots, there had to have been a decision from Manhattan's people to let the dead be built, to turn a cemetery to parking lots, there had to have been a decision from Manhattan people to let the dead who built their city be paved over and to desecrate their final resting place. And just like you were saying, you know, the desecration, the level of disrespect, and knowing that Central Park, the gentrification of our people to build Central Park, from being neglected, from being enslaved, neglected, sharecropped, Jim Crow, uncivil rights out of our rights, you know, to go through all these different seasons where even when the Black Panther Party started up, we were marginalized as militant, but in the laws it is written, it's still written that a peaceful protest is it's like an attack on the peaceful law and order of this land.
Right.
And it's like, you know, that's why it's so important to understand which laws we're talking about here and how they apply to this land, because they're written and woven in such of a way where they circumvent people out of their rightful positions and places and entitlement to said land. Just like it said up here, when there was a decision that was made, okay, when you you have to go down to City Hall and pull documents and blueprints and drafts and do tests about the area in which you are trying to build and excavate. So you know what's there. You can't say you don't know what's there, especially when you hit the first bone. The first bone, you stop. And then what's so cold now is that, and I don't know when this started, but if you find, like, gold coins and stuff that's of a certain era, you can't own that. You can dig up your backyard, but if you find something of a certain era, you have to turn it over to the government.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know, so there's certain aspects of how these laws in this land are written. And like you were saying, you know, the slave trade went from north to south, and the islands were incorporated, offshoring. There was, in fact, there was that, it was the Bermuda slave trade, the whole triangle.
Yeah.
The whole triangle. So we really have to read our history, and I would encourage people to read Harriet Tubman's autobiography. Read, especially read Frederick Douglass's and Sojourner Truth.
Oh, yeah.
Because
Sojourner Truth.
Oh, my goodness. You're going to get aspects of how the North and the, you know, the ebb and flow of the slave trade, and even when we were quote unquote freed, how the slave catchers, they would go and scoop up free people. Black people were commodity, gross domestic products. So much so that the slave trade exceeded the cotton trade. I'm going to say that for the back row. Imagine all the acres and acres of cotton. But the slave trade exceeded by gross domestic product. Then slaves were written in the books, traded as commodity. And that surpassed the cotton industry. Now, you stick that in your cap and smoke it, but or stick that in your pipe and smoke it, or stick that feather in your cap. But getting back to your book and how the stories are all woven together, in the end, with Mariah's spiritual connection to the ancestors, is the point to reflect their struggle or their royalty, their honor, and everything that they've done for us, especially that we don't even know about, our own history.
Yeah, well, the connection, too, is, you know, we're from such a an amazing people and an amazing culture, for something like this to happen, you know, to try, you know, one of the questions I had always asked, we all do, you know, God, why, you know, why would this happen to our people? And what I've learned over the years in my spiritual education, you know, there are spiritual laws, of course, spirit leads and form follows. Okay, and of course, this is this is where we come to learn. You know, that's what Earth is. We are spiritual beings having an earthly experience. We choose mm-hmm. to come. We even choose our circumstances because we so that we can elevate, so that we can learn, so that we can really learn how, that we are divine. Because most mm-hmm. of us, we've forgotten that. We just buy whatever we see here. So first, we got to take the attachment to Earth, you know, out of here. We all know nobody gets to stay. Everybody got to go. You know, we're only here for a certain amount of time. But spirit don't die. You know, spirits don't die. So
come on
some
now.
Of the anger that we have that comes along with all of the witnessing and all of the abuse that we still receive and everything, it's still all just one major lesson. I had a hard time dealing with that truth when I first dealt. I'm like, what?
Being able to let go.
We got to fight it. Being able to let go of the earthliness. This is a spiritual war. This is not an earthly war. These bodies we have, you know, it's there just for a moment. We have so much more to do, and it's about what you do, who you are, what you do while you're here. Okay, what choices
right.
are you making? Are you choosing light? Are you choosing darkness? It's all on you. So before we, you know, so I want people to, because by the time you get to the end of these three books, you're going to have a whole different perspective about life, a whole different perspective about why we had to go through, you know, all of this. There's a reason why we're here now. We're on their shoulders. They're still lifting us. They're teaching us. And the lesson they want us to learn is if we could handle this, you could go and do this and more, you know. Because they didn't raise us to be no punks. We come from a strong people. We come, you know, there's no way in the world we're supposed to just be giving up, you know, and turning over. No, we're here to reclaim. We're here to start mm-hmm. the new. We're chosen to be here, you know, and we chose this time, and we get to do that. And so there's so much more to it spiritually, and there's so much more that we there's a connection between them and us right now. It didn't end. It never ended. They've always been here to assist us. They're just waiting to hear from us to acknowledge them and ask for their help. They're offering help half the time. We're turning it down, not even realizing that we should be more in tune to, you know, to our ancestors and to our guides. So there's so much. I want people to get that. Okay, I want them to get that. You can turn everything around with your connection if you could only realize how beautiful and divine you are. If you could only understand that you truly are God's spirit.
Amen, amen to that. And we are led by the spirit. We are, mm-hmm. like you said, spiritual beings having an earthly experience. And when you understand that your experiences are what has shaped and molded you to the point of where you are right now. So when you mm-hmm. really start tapping into the spirit, you start getting into the element and the spirit of allowance. And you start mm-hmm. to understand that you can allow and disallow so much more. You can save so much time and energy and really direct the forces in the path of your life. Now, you can make God laugh all you want to by making plans. I'm not talking about not following the directions and not knowing the assignment. I'm talking about being an open vessel to the assignment. And when
you
start tapping into your spirituality and that all-knowing God, and like you said, the ancestors, when you start to realize that the spirit is alive and you can actually communicate in the spirit. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to, everyone's own experience is different. So no one can mm-hmm. tell you if this is right or if this is wrong. You have to tap into the divine for yourself. Seek and ye shall find. Okay? And don't be whitewashed, bamboozled with the King James Version. I'm going to say that for the back row again.
Mm-hmm.
The King James Version. That's his version. That's extrapolations, and it could be plagiarism if you wanted to go so far as to go back to the Kemet Bible and our ancestral roots. You can see the extrapolations from our history, from our heritage, from the ancient days of past that have been brought forward, and then what? The King James Bible was used to keep our people enslaved. You had to pray like this, and then there are segments that tell the slaves to obey your masters. It is a tool for our continued enslavement. Enslavement. That is why, unless you dissect it, if you're not willing to dissect it, and this is, I'm telling you, people, see, they're not ready to get deep, Kathy, because if they're not ready to dissect it, the lies are going to be sprinkled with truth. That's how you get led along the path. They're going to put enough breadcrumbs out there for you to say, oh, well, this sounds right because I read so-and-so and such and such. Yes, there's going to be associations, similarities, simulations, imitations. I could go on, but we don't have no time for that. So I'm going to get back to you. It's really about knowing who you are and reading your history and then really being bold enough to actually read back over. See, we skim over stuff. You can be reading something and skim right past it, you know, and just pick out the good part. See, and when we pick out the good parts, like you were saying, oh, just tell us your friends. Just tell us about the spirituality part. Don't get so deep into, you know, all of this and that and the other. Because when you hold a mirror, see, the thing about the human, the thing about people is once you know, you can't unknow. So people don't want you to tell them. Don't go this far and that far and the other, because then they have the responsibility of knowing. Yeah. Oh, they ain't ready for us today, Kathy.
You got that right. But what they need to know is what you can find out is how to be free, truly be free. You know, how why wouldn't you want to release all the negativity that's pulling you down? Why wouldn't you want a different perspective on life, you know, so that you could, you know, I mean, because I always ask, you know, if someone has lost everybody and it seems they feel like, I've met all kinds of people, you lost everybody in your family, what makes you keep going on? How come you just don't give up? Because you're not here because of them. You're here because you have a life of your own. We all do.
We're on assignment.
We're all special. Everybody has their assignment, you know. And the major part is waking up and stop and believe that you do. Like I said, we all have greatness. We're all divine. It's not just one people. It's not one kind of people, you know. Why would they want you to know that? That's why nobody ever told you that before. They don't want you to know you're free. They don't want you to know you got power. Just with your mouth, what you speak, you bring into existence. And if you think about what you say, you might really find out that it's true and stop saying the things that pull you down and start saying the things that lift you up. Okay? Just that simple, you know? Don't say, like my mother used to say, don't say I'm broke, say I'm temporarily out of cash. You know,
I'm financially challenged, but I'm a fisherman, so don't worry about that part, right?
Exactly.
You know,
right.
I mean, you really have to believe.
You have to believe, and that's the big part. We've been fed so many lies, and it's so much easier for people just to believe what they've always been told. And it's sad because you can heal yourself. I'm a witness.
Oh.
You can heal yourself. You can have a
Did
much
you hear that,
life.
Ladies and gentlemen? You know, let me do a station break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Voices of Wisdom. That is my guest, Kathy Wright Lewis, dropping gems. And I'm Beverly Black. I'm the creator of Tribe Family Channel. And Voices of Wisdom is the furtherance of my sister's voice to keep her memory alive. She feels that everyone knows something that someone else needs to know, hence Voices of Wisdom. And she did create the group Voices of Wisdom on Facebook. So you can find that information on both my and Kathy's Facebook page. If you're not connected, go to trifamilychannel.com. That'll take you to our social media. Kathy, where can everyone find you and possibly buy your book?
Oh, okay. Everyone can find me at KathyWrightLewis.com, all one word, Kathy with a C and an I-E at the end, Kathy Wright Lewis. You can find me on Facebook also. You can find me on Amazon if you go to books and you just put in my name, all of the books will come up. So thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we have two more paragraphs, and that'll give us some dialogue going out. At best guess, there are still potentially thousands of undiscovered graves in downtown Manhattan. If a mind-blowing 419 bodies could be exhumed from just one corner of a city block, and the graveyard originally spanned 6 acres with an estimated 15,000 burials, then one can only imagine how many more are lying under skyscrapers, pedestrian walkways, maintenance lines, and subway tunnels. It's an uneasy, unpleasant, and frankly unavoidable truth that if you have walked through downtown Manhattan, you have almost certainly walked over former enslaved people, impoverished colonial paupers, dumped into mass graves. It's especially unnerving to know that Manhattan, a city so deeply entrenched in the darkest past of the Atlantic slave trade, has so many literal skeletons under its sidewalks. So what region spans your, like you said, you're an educator, so you really went into research mode. What would you say is the climax of your discoveries and conclusions?
Oh, boy. Oh, so many. Well, one of the main things is that, you know, the same things keep happening over and over again. We definitely repeat, you know, history. So we really need to pay attention to what we do, and when I say that, just like when I knew something else had happened there, and of course, you know, when I researched 1741, there had been several uprisings and several riots and murders in Lower Manhattan. There had been conspiracies. A lot of the African captives, they joined one another. They had organizations and secret societies. They tried to burn the whole thing down a couple of times. And it had gotten so good to them. They had more slaves than they had people free people in the Lower Manhattan at one point. Yeah, that's how many were there. And like I said, they built everything. And, of course, Sankofa, you know, is everywhere on here in New York. And I've found Sankofa symbols all over the world. But Sankofa, you know, they wanted us, they spoke to us in the wrought iron fences that they built all over the city and left their mark. So every time you see Sankofa, you know, ancestors were here, you know. So just beautiful stuff like that. But I learned about the riots. I learned about their daily lives. I learned about everybody's slaves, George Washington's slaves. He was in New York at one time, so he'd be back and forth. And he would keep enslaved in Philadelphia for a while, but if they stayed for a whole year, they would have to be given their freedom because slavery had ended there. And he would ship them back to New York to make sure that they would remain slaves. he was a liar. He did a lot of stuff. I mean, I learned just so much history. So if people want to learn more, of course, now there's a website for the African Burial Ground. It really does belong to the larger parks department, but you could go on the website and find they have all of the history there. It's wonderful if you could come. If you're in New York, everybody needs to go there and just learn about everything and all the stories and find out about people who lived there, all our ancestors, and just the rich history of Lower Manhattan. We had schools. We had the first free African schools. Public schools, so it was so much. Also, what I researched in it happened in New York. It was called Slavery in New York. It was a major exhibition back in, that was in the early about 2000, maybe 2000, something like that. It came out. Lots of information. They still have the website up. Documents for students and all kinds of personal stories. So I use that a lot. You know, I go on there and I read about some of the stories about some of the enslaved and the freed and just about how they lived. And just there's so much now. And now there is, so much more information. But just you can just go online and Google African burial grounds and start. People have been finding more and more, of course, all over the country and claiming them, and I'm fighting for them.
Wow! And also, I'm sharing the link on the Voices of Wisdom flyer that is on our Facebook page. Is Kathy and I. You can go to tribeoffamilychannel.com. I've tagged Kathy, so if you want to connect with Kathy on Facebook, you'll see on tribefamilychannel.com, the second post down, you will see Kathy and I in both, you'll see Kathy and I in the first, second, and third post thereafter. And I have shared the link so that you not only can visit through the National Park Service, the African Burial Ground National Monument, U.S. National Park Service, that link is right there, as well as the link from which I will give you the last paragraph from the BrooklynLibrary.org, and that's BKLY. In library.org. It says, but what to do with this horrifying information as New Yorkers? To start, we can support the only monument in the memory of those individuals, the African Burial Ground National Monument, just like Kathy just said. Its visitor center provides a link for donations, which are used to maintain the monument and hopefully find ways to exhume more bodies in the future. Just like Kathy said, they're still uncovering. And that is just, it's absolutely horrific because they never should have been buried over to begin with.
Right.
So we can also educate ourselves on the history behind it. Howard University conducted a 2009 research study to analyze burial sites, bone composition, and chemical makeup of the bodies. It concluded some very interesting, albeit disturbing, truths about life for these Black New Yorkers. Although this history may be difficult to deal with, it's an inevitable fact that this city, like so many American cities, has a sordid past built on our forgotten, enslaved forefathers. We do not make amends with our history by hiding it or ignoring its discomfort. Instead, we must find ways to keep it from fading.
And this is, again, an article. This is by Ash Bass Adams from Book Match Teen, and it was published January 6, 2021. It is on our Facebook pages. So, Kathy, I really, again, truly enjoy your conversation. Do you have any comments that you'd like to make in closing?
Oh, only just I thank you once more for giving me a chance to talk about my work. I love that. I love what you're doing. And I'm always going to be supportive, and we have to work together. And I think that, you know, that's my main message for everybody tonight. If you have an idea, if something that's uplifting for the community, something that's going to help teach the children history, hook up with some other people who have the same ideas. Let's get back to being more united, creating communities within our communities, and this way we could continue to build and look forward to the future and not fearful.
Wow. And I really appreciate you. We would not be on the air tonight if it were not for Kathy's contributing sponsorship to Tribe Family Channel. And so I really want to thank you again. I do operate on philanthropy. Gumbo for the Soul International is the home of Gumbo for the Soul Publications. So we focus on literacy, adoption, foster care, women's health, breast cancer, and all cancers affecting women, as well as men's health, prostate cancer, and all health matters affecting men, as indicative of our publications. Gumbo for the Soul Publications are available on Amazon and wherever books are sold. We have 4 calls for submissions going on right now, so you can visit gumbofortheSoulInternational.com. Now, in closing, I just want to read from the Parks Presidents and Parks.com page. It says, as described by the National Park Service, the African Burial Ground is the oldest and largest known excavated burial ground in North America for both free and enslaved Africans. It reminds us of the historic role slavery played in building New York City. The site honors both the spirit of those buried here and those who fought for the respectful protection of this site for this and future generations. Less than a mile from the African burial ground is the 9/11 memorial. There are 2 reflecting pools which sit where the Twin Towers once stood. The name of every victim is inscribed around the perimeter. It is a burial ground also, as recovery of disintegrated remains must have been difficult. The adjacent museum has a database of each victim along with photographs and biographical information. So again, we honor our ancestors and ancestral past that built this nation, as well as those that we've lost along the way in the struggle to maintain its freedom. We must continue to hope and pray and believe that we hold the baton to run the race that's going to keep us free, because we are at an inflection point. When we look at our voting rights and our civil rights and women's rights being threatened and being on the ballot and being used as pawns in the political game that we're in right now, we really, like you said, Kathy, we really better pay attention. So again, I want to thank you for being my guest here on Voices of Wisdom, and I appreciate sage wisdom and knowledge.
Thank you so much. Have a blessed one, Queen. Oh, you do too, my queen. I love you. Thank you so much for all you are and all you give and everything that we are just receiving just because you're so blessed and you're so giving. So thank you. Thank you for blessing us.
Oh, thank you. Likewise, Queen, likewise. Be at peace. Be blessed. And I'll continue to do what I can to be that light. Like you said, we have to be that light. So people like you, you help us shine and keep our voices of wisdom heard. Thank you again, and God bless you. Love you. Much love.
Thank you. Love you, too. All right. Peace.
Good night. Peace.
Them. Neighborhood know we coming. Jake hate them, snakes cannot violate them. Pimps memorize his line verbatim. He reps in Y.O. Gifts, he knows the Y.O.s. Not church, this how we tied though. He walk the tenement, sleeps at a super fly condo. My kind of nigga, my icon, my idol. No certificate for this misfit who handle business. The odds stacked against him, he fights back Mac and Denver's. Never puts cash to ask before.
I have no fear whatsoever of anybody or anything.
Somehow he got around the pitfalls of the system. When he walks, we watch. When he talks, we listen.
Into the mirror and as you as they look at me, everything you like it fresh from the factory, everything you do it impact me, your lifestyle attract me, parents try distract me, when I grow up I want to be like you exactly, and as soon as I get up I distract me, there's no way anybody could have stopped me.
My gravity is the wadiara and all the mannerism. Descending out of order and man start moving busy. The locking of the corners, the streets and all the buildings. Me love you like a father, me ready and me willing. Anything where you are taught is lying my dominion and me have similar thoughts. I share the same.
So I'm happy tonight, I'm not worried about anything. I'm not feeling any man. My eyes have seen the glory.
Out, the Caesar, the monsters, the grandiose, the monsters, the hell on earth pompers, Ellsworth, Bumpy Johnsons, the Harlemites, the Garveyites, black as the credit card we swipe, popping down the knife for all of mine. I can see myself back at the Audubon, Malcolm on the podium, shells dropped to linoleum, swipe those, place them on display at the Smithsonian, next to only gems that were left behind by holy men, infectious, charisma of those who gave us direction, the anti-sexist, resistance against oppression, progressive thinking, ghetto speakers, protesters against the colored only section, to the genocidin, the frost mixing, the contradiction, the cross, the crucifixion, the loss we took for sinning, on Easter's back inscription, that it was written, that nothing is coincidence, and they took our leaders and they lynched them.
Tri-Family Channel.